Hi, listeners. Stories have so much power, and so does whoever controls the narrative. It is time that we dissect and analyze these stories. I am Vipul, and this is Woke Tales. Hi everyone. Today's story is The Nightingale. It is a beautiful tale about friendship and realness by Hans Christian Andersen. The story follows an emperor who prefers the tinkling of a bejeweled mechanical bird to the song of a real nightingale. And on that note, it's story time. The Emperor of China had a beautiful palace built entirely of porcelain, a garden with beautiful flowers that everyone who passed could not help but notice how delicate and beautiful everything was. The garden extended to a noble forest, with lofty trees sloping down to the deep blue sea, and the great ships sailed under the shadows of its branches. In one of those trees lived a nightingale, who sang so beautifully that even the poor fisherman, who had so many other things to do, would stop and listen. When travelers from other countries wrote about the emperor's city, they always mentioned the nightingale. But the emperor himself did not know that the bird existed. The books traveled all over the world, and some of them came into the hands of the emperor. And he sat in his golden chair, and as he read, he nodded his approval every moment, for it pleased him to find such a beautiful description of his city, his palace, and his gardens. But when he came to the words, "The nightingale is the most beautiful of all," he exclaimed, "What is this? I know nothing of any nightingale. Is there such a bird in my garden, or even in my empire? I'd never heard of it." The emperor was surprised that he needed to read a foreign book to find out about the bird with an amazing voice which lived near his palace. He asked one of his lords to find out about the nightingale. The only one at court who knew of the nightingale's whereabouts was the kitchen maid, who led the court to a nearby forest. The lord was surprised to find that the nightingale was a plain-looking gray bird, but was impressed by her song. The nightingale agreed to sing for the emperor and said, "Even though my song sounds best in the green world, I will come to the court." The palace was elegantly decorated for the occasion. In the center of the great hall, a golden perch had been fixed for the nightingale to sit on. The nightingale sang so sweetly that the tears came into the emperor's eyes and then rolled down his cheeks, as her song became still more touching and went to everyone's heart. The emperor was so delighted that he declared the nightingale should have his gold slipper to wear around her neck. But she declined the honor with respect and said that she had been sufficiently rewarded already. But now she was to remain at court, to have her own cage, with liberty to go out twice a day and once during the night. 12 servants were appointed to attend her on these occasions, who each held her by a silk string fastened to her leg. There was certainly not much pleasure in this kind of flying. One day, the emperor received a large packet on which was written, "The Nightingale." "Here is no doubt a new book about our celebrated bird," said the emperor. But instead of a book, it was a work of art contained in a casket, an artificial nightingale made to look like a living one, and covered all over with diamonds, rubies, and sapphires. As soon as the artificial bird was wound up, it could sing like the real one, and could move its tail up and down, which sparkled with silver and gold. The courtiers were impressed that unlike the real nightingale, the mechanical one sings the same song every time. They were also impressed that it can sing over and over again without getting tired. While the courtiers were admiring the mechanical nightingale, the real one slipped away quietly. The emperor was not happy and banished the nightingale. After a year of constant use, the mechanical nightingale suddenly stopped working. A watchmaker was eventually able to repair it, but said, to avoid breaking it again, it should only be used once a year. The mechanical bird remained next to the emperor's bed, surrounded by the many gifts that he had given it, including his gold slipper. 5 years later, the emperor fell seriously ill. Death came for the emperor one moonlit night, accompanied by many people, some beautiful and others ugly, who death explains are the emperor's good and evil deeds. The good and the evil deeds made a terrible noise. The emperor called out to the mechanical bird for some music to drown out the noise, but the bird remained silent. There was no one to wind it up, and therefore it could not sing a note. Death continued to stare at the emperor with his cold, hollow eyes, and the room was fearfully still. Suddenly, there came through the open window the sound of sweet music. Outside on a tree sat the living nightingale. She had heard of the emperor's illness and had therefore come to sing to him of hope and trust. And as she sang, the shadows grew paler and paler. The blood in the emperor's vein flowed more rapidly and gave life to his weak limbs. She sang such a beautiful song that death himself was moved and allowed the emperor to live. Thank you, you heavenly little bird. I know you well. I banished you from my kingdom once, and yet you have charmed away the evil faces from my bed and banished death from my heart with your sweet song. How can I reward you? The emperor said. You had already rewarded me, said the nightingale. I shall never forget that I drew tears from your eyes the first time I sang to you. These are the jewels that rejoice a singer's heart. But now sleep and grow strong and well again. I will sing to you again. And as she sang, the emperor fell into a sweet sleep. And how mild and refreshing that slumber was. He awoke, strengthened and restored. The sun shone brightly through the window. You must always remain with me, said the emperor, and you shall sing only when it pleases you. Nightingale replied, I cannot live in the palace and build my nest. But let me come when I like. I will sit on the tree outside your window in the evening and sing to you so that you may be happy and have thoughts full of joy. I will sing to you of those who are happy and those who suffer, of the good and the evil who are hidden around you. The little singing bird flies far from you and your court to the home of the fisherman and the peasant's cot. I love your heart better than your crown. I will come, I will sing to you, but you must promise me one thing. Everything, said the emperor. I only ask one thing, she replied. Let no one know that you have a little bird who tells you everything. It will be best to conceal it. Saying this, the nightingale flew away. The end. The theme of the nightingale is real and artificial, the role of a true creator and art in the life of a person. The nightingale also challenges us to consider what separates us from machines. The modesty, generosity, and passion of true art produced by those devoted to their craft contrasts sharply with the empty pleasures of technological wonders that can do little but engage in vacuous mimicry. And this can be extrapolated to everything, like real and artificial relationships. We also learn that true friends let each other be themselves. The emperor selfishly kept the nightingale in a cage so that he could be entertained daily by her singing, but it only made her miserable. he eventually learned that their relationship worked better when they each had freedom to be themselves. Although The Nightingale was written 179 years ago, this life-giving friendship rings more true than ever in today's society, where we talk about the value of real art and friendship measured by likes and how many people respond to our posts. It's time to ask ourselves the tough question regarding the friendships we have. Are they life-giving friendships? On that thought, bye for now. Let me know your thoughts on the story and our discussion by emailing me on woketalespodcast@gmail.com or through social media at woketalespodcast on Instagram and woketalespod on Twitter. And please rate, review, and like Woketales Podcast, and don't forget to subscribe so you can easily access our weekly stories. If you have any story recommendations, or if you want to come dissect and analyze a story with me, give me a shout out on email or social media. Because whatever you do, keep dissecting and keep analyzing.